Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Melissa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls, who started recapping The Last Kingdom in Season 3, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia.
Yeah, welcome back, guys.
Welcome back. Episode 6. You know,
it's a doozy.
You know, the thing is, though, this is both of our first podcasts. Neither of us have really done it before, but I've really enjoyed the process, like learning how to do this whole new medium. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's going pretty well.
I mean, I'm having like a blast. Right. Is it like keeping me up at night thinking about how my voice sounds on like,
oh God,
this show and not wanting to hear myself speak ever again? Yes, it is. Like,
well, that's,
but other than that,
yeah,
if like, I just don't listen to myself, I think we're going to be fine.
Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, when you do, like, an interview or something over the phone, you can have somebody else transcribe.
I
and
do.
You don't. Yeah, me too. Like, hey, Rev, thanks for all you do. Because I can't
Shout out to Rev. You the best.
Like, I can't handle the sound of my own voice in recording. But now, when we have to, like, go back and check stuff, I have to hear it. And it's just...
It's great. Me.
So hopefully
gross.
You guys like our voices if you're still sticking around. But
sure if they don't, they'll let us know.
Yeah. Can't wait to read the comments. But it's been a new little source of anxiety in that respect. But everything else, I've really had a blast like learning how to do this.
Yeah, it's been great. I feel like we've also got to like chat a little bit more about shows. I mean, this show, obviously, but like shows in general, which I always appreciate because it's like sometimes I think you can just be watching show after show and like get so into that where you're like, what does the rest of the world think about this?
So yeah.
It's like it's good to like hear someone else's thoughts and not just like live in my own head every day.
Yeah, I agree. And although sometimes it's like it's hard to sometimes talk to people who are outside of like television media because nobody watches as many shows as we do.
Oh,
so
no.
Like I'll mention something to my friends and they'll be like, I've never even heard of this. And I'm like, oh my God, but Twitter's obsessed with it. How could you not know? And then I'm like, oh yeah, no, they aren't extremely online. It's fine. They're like outside living their lives and having children.
Yes. Like doing things that normal people do. Yeah.
Right.
A lot of my friends are not on Twitter either. So it's just like when I'm like, yeah, like Twitter's freaking out about this. They're like, what? Like, sometimes I wonder if they even know what Twitter is. Like, it's like, Instagram is a big deal.
Sure.
Snapchat is a big deal.
Sure.
Because it's like, those are like...
People that you know.
Image. Yeah, it's people you know, and it's like image focused. You know what I mean? Twitter
right.
is just for like people that want to like get on and rant
mm-hmm.
or, you know, industry people that have to like stay up to date on shit that's happening.
Right.
So it does feel like you live in a different world sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All that to say, we are slowly losing our minds, and but you're keeping us sane out there.
Right, and as we lose our minds, hopefully at least it's funny and interesting. So, you know, we're sacrificing our sanity for you, the listener.
Serious, yeah, really. And also this podcast gives us a chance. I love when we open with our small talk kind of stuff because I wanted to talk to you about something today that I saw on Twitter.
Okay.
So none of my other friends are going to understand or know what I'm talking about. So I have to, like, discuss it with you.
Yes.
Did you see this story? I think it was on BuzzFeed, of course, about this woman that, like, masturbated during Tom Hiddleston's Broadway play.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What
I saw
the fuck?
That. People just people have no boundaries. Gross. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, I get it. Tom Hiddleston's a babe. But, like, go back to your hotel room and do that later. Like
the rest of us. Go home.
But, like, yes, I read about that. And it was just, that's such a horrible violation, you know? Like,
it's a
violation to the performers. It's a violation to your fellow theater goers. Like, I can't imagine living in that kind of delusionment that would be seen as something okay to do.
Well, it's, and for anyone who has been to a Broadway play in the city, in New York City, you know, all of those theaters, it doesn't matter what theater you're in, like, it's small and crowded. Those seats are like for toddlers. Like, you just have to like squeeze yourself in.
Yeah.
You're packed like sardines to, like, see this performance. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we have a bunch of space. Like, movie theaters, especially, like, now, like, you get recliners and there's, like, some space. You know what I mean? It's almost right. like a individual viewing. Mm-hmm. Not so for Broadway. Like, it's – you're in there, in it. So to do that, to, like, have the balls to do that in that setting – I mean, and it's quiet in a theater. Like,
yikes. Well, and that's such a minimalist play, too. Like, Betrayal, yeah. It's just, like, the three of them up on stage, and, like, that's it.
Yeah, there's no musical moments. You know what I mean? This isn't Lion King up right. there.
Not to say that you should go and masturbate in the Lion King because there's at least music to mask it, but, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, I mean, would indicate, like, some kind of forethinking and rationality of, like, I don't want to disturb people too much.
Yeah, I guess it just so shows that anybody can be a creep because yikes. Yeah, I saw that too, and I couldn't believe it. Like, how horrific. Yeah, I saw it, like, first thing this morning, and it was, like, just going around on, like, message boards, but I think, like, Page Six picked it up, so he'll probably see it, and that sucks.
Oh, poor baby. I know.
Yeah.
Because it is, like, such a good play, and I'm sure, like, they're all fantastic in it. It's got a really good cast.
Yeah.
Other than just him, so.
Right. Yeah.
Don't see Betrayal, but
don't
please.
Masturbate during it.
Keep your hands out of your pants.
Please. Jesus. Like,
can't believe I have to say this to adults,
You shouldn't have to. So, but yeah. Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I just wanted to open with that because I feel like, you know, just a PSA, if you're going to go see a show, just...
Keep your hands out of your pants.
Save the masturbating for later for back at the hotel room.
Right.
I mean, I know it's asking a lot, but I think you can do it. I believe in all of you. So let's go on to episode 6. What a great segue.
Right.
So seamless.
Don't masturbate in theaters. And also, don't try and pretend to be a Dane and fuck over some Britons, because it's not going to end well for you.
Not going to work for you, especially when you just, like, you bring along Ethelwald and all these other Saxons that are clearly not Danes.
Yeah. You know, at the beginning of this episode, it really shows, like, how deeply fractured, like, Uhtred and Mildred's relationship is. Like, this is beyond just some squabbling. Like, this is deep, fundamental, like, religion, values, everything kind of coming apart between them.
Leave me and I'll go directly to the church and have our son blessed.
Then he won't be my son.
May God forgive you for saying such a thing.
Which God?
What has happened to you? What has happened to the kindness and perhaps even the love you have once shown me?
I was made to crawl.
Yes, before God. We all fall to our knees before God.
I won't forget what Alfred did to me in the name of his God. I reject that God. I will excuse myself.
Uhtred does not look good here. Like,
no, not a good look for him.
Like, I get it. Oswald was a thief, but, like, his kids don't deserve that. You know what I mean? Like, and refusing to pay the Weir Guild is honestly bullshit because he's all, you know, oh, they'll live, they'll be fine. Honestly, probably not, my man. Like, if they don't have a provider, these are young children. They are going to starve to death without their father and without the, you know, money to replace him.
Yeah, it's uncharacteristic. Ristically cruel of Uhtred.
Yeah, very callous.
To do that. And I think it's born more of his, like, lingering anger towards Alfred and what happened.
Sure.
Than to really anything to do with Oswald's family. It's And I think, you know, Mildred constantly, like, arguing for it is not helping it at this point, because it's just, you're kind of, you know, you're beating that dead horse because he's already pissed. He's not going to do it. I mean, at this point, I would just, like, find a way to do it myself and just not tell him, because I don't think Uhtred's going to change his mind. Yeah. Unfortunately, for Mildred, I think, yeah, I think the honeymoon is obviously over.
Way over.
Lasted a year, which I guess is a pretty long time in medieval times.
Yeah.
But it sours, like, very quickly after episode 5 and after that kind of penance crawl that he has to do. And
yeah.
There's a poor Leia Fridge is just, like, caught in the middle of it.
Oh, my God. Poor Leia Fridge forever the third wheel. Yeah.
God. It just so many times, every time he tries to get up and leave while they're arguing over, the, like, dinner, it's just, it's a, such a cringe moment because, yeah, there's a lot of issues between these two. They're not going to be able to get over it just because neither one of them wants to, like, see the other side. Yeah. And I think it, the main, like, takeaway is, I think if there was real, you know, love and affection there, that it, these are things they could have, like, talked about and worked on. But mm-hmm. I think because this is an arranged marriage and they didn't know each other before, I mean, they're both hot. So it's like, yeah, let's, like, hook up and, like, have some fun.
Yeah.
But when the going gets rough, that's when you realize, you know what, I'm just kind of stuck with this person. I'm not really in love with this person.
I think you can definitely... You definitely get that idea when they, you know, when she's like, are you the man that I used to care for? And he was like, are you still the woman I ached to plow? I'm like,
Uhtred.
Uhtred. Oh, my God.
My dude.
It's a bad look.
Yeah. He don't care, though.
He doesn't. Yeah, that's, like, the biggest takeaway from this episode is Uhtred doesn't give a shit about anything except what he wants.
Yeah, and here's what's, like, really surprising to me about that is not so much how he treats Mildred, because at the end of the day, yes, this
he
is someone
he still pays off the debt for. Like, that's
I
guess.
I mean, he does some nice things. He still has that honor, like, somewhere in him.
Right.
But there's a real detachment. He has, like, very purposefully separated himself, not only from Mildred, but from their son. I mean, he is... It's almost like he's setting himself up to leave. Like, he knows how it's going to go, and he's just trying to kind of, like, I don't know, like, just rip that Band-Aid off. You know what I mean? Like, cut the fat in a way, because he knows, you know, if things sour with Mildred, he's not going to see his son. And some of that is because of his beliefs and how he's treated in the village. And then some of that is because he just doesn't want to live that life. But it's really weird because he was so about seeing Mildred and his son.
And then the next
just
episode.
Just one episode ago.
Right. It's a rough episode and nobody really comes off looking great. So, but yeah. So he, like, pretty much cuts those ties with Mildred and is like, all right, I'll, like, get your debt, whatever. But after that, we're pretty much done. And I feel like this is stuff they should have worked through before they had a kid.
Right. I mean, you were, it's been at least 9 months, you know, I'm thinking probably like a year. So, like, you didn't, like, chat about baptisms at all, like, in that time?
Right.
I mean, you're just humping and washing clothes and plowing a
There's
field.
There's plenty, like, of room to chat about how they're going to raise their kid.
Lots of downtime.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. It's not good. So yeah, Uhtred and Leo Frick ride off with their dudes to go and plunder Britons. And, you know, I must admit, I am a lifelong horse girl, so I love the shots of everybody just, like, galloping around.
I know that about you.
Yeah. I, like, took riding lessons from the time I was 6 till I was about 14. Like, I competed.
Oh,
I know. So, like...
You competed?
Yeah, I did, like, pony club, the whole deal. Like...
Look at you, little fancy bitch. I know.
Yeah, so, like, whenever they're, like, galloping shots, I'm like, oh, that looks so fun. But,
I want to go, like, plunder and pillage on a horse.
So, yeah, that stuff I'm always like, hell yeah. But I just, this whole mission just seems like a bad idea from the get-go. And that becomes even more apparent when old Athelwald shows up. And I feel like a good litmus test is if you're doing something and Athelwald wants to be in on it, it's a bad idea.
yeah, that should have, like, halted the road trip right there for me.
Yeah.
Because he was so into it.
So into it. with his, like, little Danish face paint and his braid, I was like, oh, this is like a little kid dressing up in his big brother's clothes. It is not good.
That's exactly what it was. But you know what? That was what it was, I felt like, for all of them. Because, so, Uhtred is also having way too much fun doing this. And yeah. It's like a, it almost is like, what is the point of your life right now? Because you could have been doing this for real
with Brita real Danes. And Ragnar, right?
Yeah, and like just living the life. You love this so much. That could have been your whole fucking life.
Right.
But now you're doing it and you're having to do it in secret and you're having to raid these like really poor villages that they only have potatoes. Like, and yeah. You're getting frustrated about that. But it's because like you're doing it with people and in a place where you're not supposed to be, you right. know? So it's like, you're making life so much more difficult for yourself. Like, look how much you enjoy this. Just go do it full time. It's like one of those things where it's like, you should, the job you have should be something you love to do. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if not do, a hobby.
If you
like,
do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So
that's Uhtred, exactly it. Make your hobby your full-time job.
Right. Uhtred, just go be a Dane for real.
God, it's really frustrating because he's just so, I mean, like, so happy as a clam. Just yeah. so excited to be doing this. And I'm just like, why? You're so stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leo Fritsch is not really happy about Ethelwold coming along for nope. obvious reasons.
Yeah.
There's some real bad blood there between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, like, getting to see Leo Fritsch, like, just get a little, like, pissed and, like, just want to kill Ethelwold. Like,
they should have let him do it.
He's such a funny dude.
They would have saved so much heartache down the line if they had just killed Ethelwold right there.
But here's the deal. Like, right now, we know what Ethelwold becomes, but I think eventually, like, Leo Fritsch already has a read on him. I think Uhtred gets one later on.
Yeah.
But right now, Ethelwold is fun. I mean, he's a fun person to have along.
That's the thing. He's a, like, we hate him, but he's such a good character. And he does, like, it's, he sucks. But also, he adds so much, like, interest to every episode that he's in that, like, you're right. I don't want him to die, even though I think he should die because, like, he's such a shitster. And every show needs a shitster.
So true. And I think Uhtred appreciates that about him as well. It's like, he's got some, we see that when he joins them on their raids and he kind of maps out where they are and where they should go. And it's, you know, everyone's kind of surprised that he has some kind of intelligence. And it's like, no, this dude is actually pretty smart. He does just hide it very well. And he also gives into his vices a little too much. So I think Uhtred recognizes that in him as far as like, yeah, he's a fun person to have around. Like you're always going to have someone to crack jokes on. You know what I mean? If you've got Ethelwold there, but also he serves a bit of a purpose. If you can find a way to manage him.
I know. So. It was a very, like, interesting moment when you see that actually Ethelwold does have some tactical value when he's, like, telling him all this stuff. Whoa. I'm like, oh, okay, he actually knows stuff.
That's what Leo Fritsch was, too. He's like, I didn't know you knew this stuff. He's like, yeah, I'm an educated man. I just hide it well. And Leo Fritsch is like, yeah, very well. It's like, yeah, same.
Yeah.
The king greets you.
He does. I hear nothing.
You are pagans. The king is Christian and will only speak with you through me. If you would come forward and pay your respects.
So, yeah, they're, like, off pillaging, and they end up in this sort of hall of this Briton king, King Peridur, which I thought was kind of a silly name. But
Peridur. Sounds like a dog, a breed of dog.
Yeah.
Peridur.
Yes, a purebred Peridur.
No, yeah, he's definitely not Alfred.
No, well, that's the thing. Like, you roll up and you're like, oh, yeah, like, nobody's as well off as Wessex because, like, you know, this guy's apparently a king, but his, you know, his castle isn't exactly anything to sniff at.
Right, and his wife definitely has some kind of skin
pox?
Disease happening.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Well, one of his wives. You've got the,
one of his
the
wives.
Pox wife, and then you have the shadow wife, and or the shadow queen. And I know that she's, like, cool or whatever, but Isolde is not my favorite. of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, she just, I don't know, with her, like, white girl dreads and her virginity powers, I'm just like, ugh. I feel like Isolde is, like, the manic pixie dream girl of the Last Kingdom. Like, she doesn't really have a personality. She's just, like, there to be hot and, like, make eyes at Uhtred. And, like, yeah, she kind of, you know, she helps him out a little bit. But there's not, there's not a lot going on there. I just, she's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree. Okay. Only because,
That's
again,
fair.
I like to see different women on the show and the forms that they take. I'm there with you on the dreads. White girls should not wear dreads.
Just don't
do think
it.
That's, like, something that's difficult to do. Just don't do it.
Just don't do
but
it.
But that aside, I feel like the virginity thing, like, feels very smart to me because I don't know if that's really true. You know what I mean? That happens, like, you see that a lot in old stories and, like, fables and history and stuff where it's like, oh, they needed to remain pure to be able to have visions or something. And it's like, I don't know how much of that is real or if it's the woman's way of, like, protecting herself because she is a commodity. And if she has this power and she's pretty, of course, like, dudes are going to want to, like, have their way with her. So I kind of view it as like, well, maybe this is her just like finding a way so where like when she gets captured by old dirty kings like this Peridair fella, she doesn't have to like bone him. You know what I mean?
So, you know, that's actually a really interesting way to look at it because I was looking at it more as like a fetishization of virginity, which is always just kind of like to me. So that, okay, I like that interpretation better.
It could be, I mean, we could go into like more episodes and find out that she really does lose all of her power once she's been deflowered, and that's so gross. But for right now, I'm just, like, buying into this lie that I've told myself. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but
it's
I do
well,
want to think that
well
she's
reasoned,
smart.
It's a well-reasoned lie, if it is a lie.
Thank you. I'm trying to add a bit of feminism in wherever I can with this show.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, she obviously wields some power in this little kingdom, and I appreciate that. I always, like when women, like, get to be, like, witchy, and I feel like she's very witchy.
That's true. I love some witchy shit. It's true.
Just get your witch on. Medieval times. I like that she's called a shadow queen. That sounds, like, really dangerous, and, like, we're messing with some dark arts there.
Sure. We are the Harry Potter generation, so of course that would deeply appeal.
There's a lot of boxes ticked for me with Isolde. So Uhtred and the rest of them, they kind of take on this job for King Peridair where he has his fortress taken by another Briton. Turns out it's not like a rebel band of Britons.
It's Danes.
Other Danes. It's hilarious when Uhtred finds out because he just goes from like, yeah, we're going to like scare the shit out of these Britons to, it's Danes.
We're
like,
going to die. Yeah.
it's an immediate like stop, retreat.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to think about this. And I really liked that.
Name yourself.
I'm Uhtred Ragnarsson. Who are you?
Scorpa of the White Horse.
This sword Dane, Scorpa of the White Horse, him and his bloody teeth, I just like, I could not handle that. But
okay,
yeah.
Does he not, he looks like someone who spent like way too long at like Burning Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
like,
definitely.
Like he's just baked in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
He's been probably eating some like scraps.
Mushrooms. Tripping on mushrooms, something. But his whole energy was very like dark, chaotic, and I did not like it.
Yeah, do not trust this dude.
But they did. That's the thing.
But they do.
But Uhtred does. And that, I just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, yes, you know, Peridair was awful, like, betray him, whatever. But, like, trusting that guy so quickly and being like, yeah, of course, we'll, like, fight with you and it'll be fine. It's just, look at your life. Look at your choices, Uhtred. I feel like you're making really bad decisions right now. And it was a bad decision.
The first betrayal of the king, I'm totally on board with. I think that was a smart play, and you could say we're going to split it. But I think once you see him kill that king, even though he's said he's given his word that he'll let him live, that's when you start planning, okay, this dude's probably going to, like, betray me too. How can we, like, head this off and not have that happen? And I don't think that thought went into Uhtred's head at all.
No, word to the wise. Don't trust a dude that rips out throats with his teeth. Like, just don't. Don't.
Like, he does it for fun. It's not to, like, you know, last-ditch effort to, like, kill someone and protect himself. He just likes to bite necks. So,
yeah.
Something's going on there.
It's not good. But it's not good.
They, you know, betray the king, come back to the hall. Isolde is there. She's like, yep, sitting on the seat, but underneath me is all the silver. Have at it. They do. And Scorpa, of
immediately
course.
Immediately turns on him. Like, immediately. He's like,
yeah, and Leofrich is like, how would he share this? And he's like, we don't share it. Yeah. It's all mine. And Uhtred, the only fucking thing that is on Uhtred's mind is, give me the girl.
Congratulations, Uhtred. You played yourself again. Again.
Oh, boy. Think with your brain for a second.
Please.
It's up there. I know it.
That's the thing. He's, like, so easily manipulated for women. And I'm like,
he's manipulated by his dick.
By
is
his
what it
dick. Because it's just, you know, I'm like, Uhtred, you're out here just trying to earn some money so you can get out of this debt and leave your wife cold turkey. And you're throwing it all away for this girl that you saw one time in a hall. And I'm just like, I get it. She's like alluring, whatever. But come on. Please play the long game for once in your godforsaken life, Uhtred. Please.
Yeah. But he doesn't, and really, he doesn't have to, because at the end of the day,
she had more money.
Scorpa leaves. She knew where the real money was. She knew where the real silver was. Mm-hmm. So he lucks out again.
So he won't learn anything.
So he's not learning a lesson.
Yep.
It's like, quit saving him. Like, let him, like,
drown.
Really suffer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's so frustrating.
Very frustrating. And then, so they get their money, they split it up, and he kind of parts ways with his company, and he takes her to his wife's house. Like, I get it. He and Mildred are done, but this is so petty. Like, it's so petty to come parading his new side piece up in front of his wife and, like, completely ignore his son, whatever. It's just, it's a bad look.
It's fucking rude. Like, Earl Ragnarsson would be so disappointed. Like, that's not how you go about things. Like, if you want to, like, peace out on your family, that's one thing.
Ugh.
But do it in a respectful way, because she has not earned any of that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You knew who she was before you married her.
Right.
You've known who she was while you've been married. Like, just respect that. Religion is something that's very important to her. You don't agree with it, so you're going to have to split. But you don't have to be an asshole.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do not have to be assholes. It's so easy not to be an asshole in this world.
Yes.
Just don't.
I agree. So yeah, he tells her debt is paid off, but also they're pretty much done, and he doesn't care about a son either. Yikes.
Gross.
Yeah. It's not good. So Mildred is like, all right, I'm going to leave, because at least they're nice to me at the Ottas. So I'm going to go. Thanks for forcing me to leave, basically, now that the land is rightfully mine. Like, that made me so sad for her, you know, like, she's finally free from this crushing debt that she didn't incur. Like, this is a debt she inherited from her father, and now it's gone, and she can't even stay in her home. That sucks.
Yeah, she can't even enjoy it. That's
right.
It's such shit. Like, again, women really had it so rough. And it's like, dudes, like, if there's anything you can do to make it not as bad on them, like, maybe do it.
Maybe
it doesn't cost you anything to, like, just be kind to your fucking wife.
Wife. Like, she's his wife. Come on. I just, it was a very frustrating episode for me.
I did appreciate, though, you know, Mildred has some fire in her.
She
does. And you see that when she confronts Isolde and is like, I'm talking to my husband, like, get the fuck out of my house. Like, I don't know who you are.
Oh, my God. When Isolde was like, you are no longer a part of Uhtred's path. I felt for Mildred
like,
in that
bitch.
Moment. And I was like, you are in her home, like, getting ready to bone down with her husband. Show her the slightest bit of respect. Come on now.
Yeah, I don't need any woman in dreads and a purple cape telling me what path I'm on, okay?
Yeah.
Like, just stay in your lane.
Go back to Party Express and let me live my life.
Good God, seriously. So it's really frustrating. I mean, I just don't know what to say. And there's nothing to say in Uhtred's defense. Like, that was just so uncalled for.
Yeah.
And in the end, it was so fucking stupid because, you know, so he's spending all this time. He goes and pays off his debt. Good job. Yep. I like that.
There you go.
Then he goes home and rubs it in Mildred's face. Yep. Like, why even come home?
Right.
If you're not going to stay there, you don't want to be with your wife, you didn't even really care to see your son, what was the point of coming home?
Right.
Just to tell her that the debt's paid off, send her a fucking note. Right. I mean, I know you can't write, but get someone else to write the letter. And so this whole time that he wastes kind of just rubbing salt in this wound, it gives his enemies time to plan against him.
Yep. Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Well, and so he goes back to Alfred. And I don't understand how he thought that this was going to be a good meeting. Like, yeah, he's got to go for the Witten because he is technically an alderman. But, like, he's been off fighting against their, not, I wouldn't call the Britons allies, but they're not an open war, you know? So he's been across the border pretending badly to be like a pillaging party of Danes. Of course Alfred is going to hear about it. Like, of course he is.
Oh, well, that's because homeboy is telling everyone his fucking name.
Yes.
Everyone asks, who are you? Who are you?
And guess what he says? I'm Uhtred Ragnarsson. Like, people know that he's Alfred's man at this point. Like,
you couldn't say I'm like Bob, I'm Mike. You couldn't give another name at that point. Like,
right. So.
Idiot.
He's so stupid sometimes.
So stupid. You know what, though? It's the criminals that don't think they'll get caught that do like the stupidest shit. And that is what Uhtred is.
He's
like,
cocky.
He doesn't think he's going to get caught.
Right. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's also this pride thing, I think. I think he wants his name known. And
sure.
He's had that kind of ripped away from him with the whole Ubba thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that also motivates him a little bit to be like, yeah, fuck, I'm Uhtred Ragnarsson. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's almost like I'm living for me now. You know, like he doesn't feel like he has any kind of allegiance or ties to anyone, and he just wants people to know his name, which is also such a dude thing to do.
It's such a dude thing, but I also love it when he gets there and they're like, hey, we gotta talk to you about something, Uhtred. And he's like, what? Oh my God, like, what could they possibly want to talk to me about? And they're like, hey, this raiding party, this just seems like a bad idea, no? And he's like, we were patrolling your borders and protecting your kingdom. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, Uhtred, if you're going to do this shit, at least own up to it when you're caught. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't lie to their faces because you're not going to get away with it.
He's one of those people that it's like, as soon as he comes in, everyone's like, we got to talk to you. And he's immediately like, what's happening? What did they say?
Right.
Like, it's like, he's like, what do you think they said?
Right.
Like, you know, you're letting on that you've done something wrong by reacting that way. And then when they say, well, we've heard this, he's just like,
oh, the consequences of my actions. No.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think it was a big deal, guys. You knew it was a big deal. That's why you came in shitting your pants.
Right.
Because everyone found out. Like, don't give me that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really not great. So, but yeah.
Uhtred was a little fuckboy this episode is basically our recap.
We're going to talk about that a little more, a little further on because, yeah, Uhtred can go pound sand this episode. But yeah, like, so he is before Alfred. Alfred's like, you did this stuff. You have to die. This is bad. And then we find out, like, Leofric kind of had to sell him out. Like, which it sucks because, you know, bros before hoes or whatever. But at the same time, like, because Uhtred is an alderman, he has quite a different degree of freedom than Leofric does. Like, yeah, Leofric is off riding through the countryside with him. But at the end of the day, like, he works for Adda and Young Adda. Like, he is basically owned by them and is not his own man. So, like, yeah, it sucks that he kind of, you know, has to sell Uhtred out in a way. But, like, he didn't have a choice, you know? Like, it was him or Uhtred. And I don't know. Would you die for Uhtred at this point?
Hell no. I mean, it hurts me.
It hurts a lot.
To see that friendship. Yeah. It hurts me to see the rift.
Yeah.
It's not surprising to me in a way because there were many times this episode where Leo Fritsch was like,
"This is
where
bad."
Where Uhtred even questioned, "Why are you here?" And Leo Fritsch was like, "To keep an eye on you."
Yeah.
So even though you're like buddy buddy, you gotta know, like, he belongs to someone else and he's doing someone else's bidding. Maybe you're best friends and he doesn't want to be doing it. He hates the guy he works for, but he still works for that guy. You can't, this is medieval times. You can't just get out of a contract. You know what I mean?
Right. So, well, and even you can see how much he cares for Uhtred, even as he's like, yeah, he's got to die. He's like, I want to do it. I want to make sure that he gets a good death that he deserves. Like,
right.
It's an odd way of showing his love, but he's showing that he cares in the only way that he can.
And I mean, I think that's, yeah.
That's like to let Uhtred die as, you know, a nobleman.
As a warrior, and right. to go to Valhalla if that's what he wants. Like, right. he wants to give him the best death he can give him.
Right.
I guess that's like the, you know, medieval version of, like, you know, going on Twitter and declaring your love for a show or something. I don't know. It's try to, like, relate it to something that we would do now. But it's like, that's honestly, that's like the most, I think that's the most respectful and the most kind of emotional thing that Leo Fritsch has done.
Yeah.
Like, since we've seen him. That's,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
He cares about that Arsling, even if he's, you know.
He does.
He's going to be the one to kill him if he has to.
I love you. I'm going to have to kill you, but I still love you.
Right. This episode ends.
Not looking good.
No, it's not looking good. Like, yes, there are three seasons, so we know he's not going to die, but, like, it's a bad spot that Uhtred finds himself in, that's for sure.
It's a bad spot, too, just because it's, like, at this point, if he were to die, it would feel earned. It would be like,
he hasn't learned anything yet. Yeah.
So it's kind of like hard to even root for him at the end of this episode because he's just such a twat. So
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Isolde will save him. We'll see. I'm sure it's going to come down to a woman to save him at some point this season.
Usually does. Usually does.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So now it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what do you want to see next episode?
Listen, everybody made bad decisions in this episode, and I think everybody needs to face some consequences. Like, Uhtred and Leofric went off pillaging and were super shocked to find out that, that's like, people are not going to like that when you take their stuff. Like, it just, and, you know, Mildred and Uhtred break up because, duh, religion is a big deal and that's pretty foundational to, you know, a functioning relationship. And it was super, like, Uhtred just behaved so badly, and everybody acts like an asshole in this episode. And I'm ready for everyone to get some comeuppance, you know? Mm. But yeah, especially young Otto, because fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. He can just fuck right off. I hate this dude. He's getting more annoying with every episode. I want nothing else but to see him die a horrible death.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm not asking for a lot. Want him to go.
He needs to go. The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our Arsling of the Week is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, it's a tough episode, but did you have an Arsling of the Week this week?
I did, and I know you're not going to like this, but it was the Shadow Queen.
I get it. You made a good case for her, so I can understand it.
I mean, dreads aside, this is a bitch that knows how to make an entrance. She's got a read on where the best silver is, so you always want her on your team. And that robe, I mean, it's extra. It's a lot. But she low-key loves the drama, and I appreciate that in a woman. So
that's fair.
Go get yours, Shadow Queen.
I can respect that. And honestly, like, can I abstain this episode? Like, nobody comes out of this episode looking good, you know? I guess if I have to choose someone, like, I'll go with Mildred, which, like, honestly, in this rewatch, I'm surprising myself with how much I like her. But, like, listen, she and I don't necessarily agree on matters of religion, but if my husband told me my beliefs were shit, left my people fatherless and penniless, and brought this new girl to my home, I would not have maintained the level of dignity that she did. Like, yeah, he paid off her debt, but, like, oh my God, at what cost to, like,
at what cost? At what to her dignity? Cost?
Yes.
To her peace of mind?
To her people? Like, he just,
I don't know. It's so weird to me because, like, maybe it's because we watched these first two seasons, like, super
quickly. So quickly, yeah.
When we were first recapping this, but, like, I just remember really not being a fan of Mildred and thinking she was so whiny and such a brat. And looking back on it, like now when we watch these episodes, I'm just like,
Mildred is doing her best.
I mean,
best.
Do what you
Stab
need to
him.
Do. I don't care. Yeah.
I have loved you. Don't pray for me.
Yeah. I just have so much sympathy for her, especially this episode, because she tries to do the right thing by people, and even when Uhtred treats her like shit, she still tries to, you know, kind of reason with him and find a way to kind of get to him, and yeah, he's just not about it. He's got his Shadow Queen. He don't care about her no more.
He doesn't. And he just shows her that in the most unkind ways possible.
But you know what, Mildred? You're better off. You're going to thrive. You're going to live your life, and you don't need that man.
You don't need that man.
You don't need that man. This is also a great segue talking about turds.
Yeah.
let's get ready to shame Nun, the worst character of this episode. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the week. Alyssa, there were many turds this episode, but did you have one that stood out?
Uhtred. Uhtred did bad shit and refuses to face consequences ever. I just, you know, okay, you watch The Good Place, right?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously. So there's that point when they're trying to teach Michael ethics and Chidi is explaining to him how murder is bad, right? And Michael's like, well, what if I want what he has and it would make my life a lot easier if he was dead? Like, can I still murder him then? And Chidi's like, no. And so I kept thinking of that moment, like whenever Uhtred did anything this episode, I'm just like, Uhtred, you can't just steal people's stuff because you want it. That's not how this works, you know? Like, that's not how it works. And he was just like, well, I had to pay this debt. And yeah, these people are even more poor than I am, but I still want to take their stuff. And it just, it was hard to root for him in this episode. So yeah, Uhtred
really belongs in the bad place this episode.
Yes, Uhtred belongs in the bad place.
Hate to see it, but that's the truth. And you know what else? Leo Fritsch deserves to be in the bad place this episode. I know that his life is not as free as Uhtred. I know that he has responsibilities and he has people that he answers to. But you could have headed off this whole thing and said, look, I'm watching you for this person who hates you. So if you want to go pillaging and plundering, fine. But just know that, like, I have got to report back. That's my job, you know? Like, and I felt like there were times where Leo Fritsch was trying to caution him and trying to, like, tell him to, like, back off. But then I felt like there were times where Leo Fritsch was encouraging him.
Yeah, he was pretty all in on the whole endeavor. It was even his fault, or not his fault, his idea to, like, go do it.
It was his idea. Right. So that's why it rings a little false for me, this kind of sudden, you know, coming to Jesus moment where he's like, oh, I did a bad thing. I'm so sorry. You know, like, we need to atone for our sins. I paid off a debt to the church. And it's just like, this was your idea, dude. Like, and now you're throwing your best bud under the bus. I just don't appreciate that. I did not like this for Leo Fritsch. I didn't think it was a good look. You could tell, like, in that final scene, you could tell how shocked and how betrayed, like, Uhtred felt. Like, he clearly cares for this person. They both care for each other. And to still, to do this, even though you know you care for each other, it just, ugh, it really hurt me.
I will not fight these days for silver. For king, yes, but not for silver.
I'm tethered by debts. I need to raise an army, and they get away further with every second.
I will not allow half these men or more to die.
I can give you what you need.
I feel betrayed.
Yes, I feel as betrayed as Uhtred does, but you're right. You're 100% correct on that read. Like, he did the deed. He should take some consequences, too, and everybody's making bad choices.
Everyone's, and he's doing it, like, he's holding on to a lot of his honor by being like, you know, I followed him willingly and you know, all this stuff. But it's like, you're doing just enough, right? Like, you're being just enough of a good guy, even though you're ratting out your friend to, like, not earn so much hatred. Like, I just feel like it's a very measured apology and a very measured, like, pointing the finger. And so it's like, I can't, like, fully hate him or fully sympathize with him.
Right.
So that pisses me off. Like, let me live on one side or the other. Yeah, it's just, it was too much this
moral
episode.
Grays, please just make it black and white.
My head hurts. I have a headache. I don't want to think about that.
Exactly. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this week. Jessica, were you moved by anything you saw on screen?
I mean, not moved enough to, like, masturbate in a Broadway theater.
Good.
Definitely good. Not. No, there weren't a lot of great moments this episode for me. I mean, I like, you know, how Uhtred is kind of very overprotective of Isolde. Like, from the beginning, it's a bit concerning because you just met this girl 5 minutes ago. But I get it. She's got nice eyeliner. She's got good style. So there's something there. There's a connection there. I think he also recognizes her worth and her abilities and her power because he's a Dane. And that's that pagan way of life, like, does not. He doesn't have to. Like, I think that king, he was a bit pagan, but he was also trying to pretend to be Christian. So he had to, like, walk this line. Uhtred doesn't have to do that. He sees, like, how powerful Isolde is. And so I think that's part of the attraction. But, I mean, he does, he decides to, you know, sleep with the pigs for her. So that's something, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I'm trying my best to, like, find something, but it was really hard this episode.
Yeah, this episode left me dry as a bone. This episode should just be called Men, Disappointing as Ever, because, yeah, sure, a little courtly love with the queen, Shadow Queen, that's nice, but I was very, very upset with everybody, and I can't be horny when I'm upset, I just can't.
I have a question. Have you been waiting for us?
For you.
And you saw what would happen.
I knew that you would come. That is all.
It was a desert this episode, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There was no quenching of any kind of thirst here.
Absolutely not.
I'm sorry that this segment is so disappointing this episode. It's not our fault.
We're disappointed too.
We had to live through this just like you did. And we were forced to try and find something.
Yep.
Okay? And we couldn't do it.
Nope.
And that's not our fault. We didn't fail. They did.
They did. How dare.
They failed us all.
How dare our needs not be catered to every time? Jeez.
I mean, God, you know why we're watching this show. We're watching it for blood and death and horny moments.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, let's get excited about something.
Yeah.
I think it's
geek
just
out.
It's, yeah. Okay. I think it's safe to say we've never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. We annoy our family, our friends, and now our devoted listeners. If you've stuck around past that really dry, thirsty moment episode, Welcome to Geek Out, where we will offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be watching and reading. So, Alyssa, what are you geeking out about this week?
I want to talk about, did you see the Jurassic World short film that was put on YouTube yesterday?
I did not.
Okay. So I don't know how, like, invested you are in Jurassic Park and that.
Oh, I love Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
OG Jurassic Park.
OG Jurassic Park. But the Jurassic World and the second Jurassic World, I forget what it's called. I'm not a fan. Like, I've seen them both, but it feels really hollow and there's just nothing that makes me care. But they released this Battle at Big Rock short film that's actually super good. Like, they made a better story in 8 minutes than the previous two movies combined. Like, it was this family. Have you seen the latest one?
So I've seen the first Chris Pratt one, but I was not interested enough to see the second, only because it looked like a lot of the dinosaurs were going to die, and
I
didn't want to see that.
It's true. Yeah, that part was really chilling. But yeah, basically at the end of the episode, or end of the movie, we're talking about movies, not television, Alyssa.
on to movies.
At the end of the movie, spoiler alert, dinosaurs, like, get out, and they're, like, in the world now. And
oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So this short film kind of deals with the repercussions of that, and it's this family at this, like, campground, and it's this, like, beautiful multiracial family. Like, they are obviously, like, a couple that had been previously with other people and have combined their kids, and it's just really sweet, and their kids are super cute, and then these dinosaurs show up and start fighting, and it's so tense. Like, I cared more about this family in 2 minutes than I did about Chris Pratt in two movies, and it just, like, it was so good. Go watch it. It's definitely worth your time. And I hope they don't trick me into going to see a third Jurassic World movie. But if that family's in it, I will go see it again.
So is this like independently made, or is this like...
No. It's like an official Jurassic World short film. Andre Holland is in it. Did you see? I mean, obviously you saw Moonlight. Yeah, he's the father. And it's like, yes, why do we have to sit through Chris Pratt when Andre Holland is right there?
That's all you had to say.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch it. It's so good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I love Jurassic Park. And I didn't even mind, like, the first Chris Pratt one, only because it was, like, fresh and new again, and it, like, gave us an excuse to, like, watch dinosaurs, which I love. And plus, Bryce Dallas Howard, I fucking love her.
I do too, but she's so underutilized in those movies.
So underutilized.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there were moments where she's, like, running in heels in the jungle and, like, shooting, like, dinosaurs out of the sky, and those are the moments, like, I clung to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not enough to, like, go see the second one.
I watched it when it hit HBO. Like, I didn't see it in theaters.
Oh, yeah, I guess you didn't have to pay for it, really. Right. But, yeah, I don't want to put any more money towards Chris Pratt at this point in my life. I think I'm done with that phase.
I think we're all kind of over Chris Pratt. Here's how over Chris Pratt I am. He is introduced in the second film. He's, like, wearing plaid and building his own house in the mountains, and I didn't give a shit. And that's, like, my jam, and I was like, get off my screen. I don't care about you.
Dude, that sucks, because you know some marketing people were just like, this is going to get the girls really horny.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're going to love it.
Exactly. And they failed.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
It's not their fault. That's a solid bet. It's just you bet on the wrong horse.
Right. Exactly. Show me Chris Evans doing that and I'll get on board. So,
yes.
But yeah, sorry, Pratt.
Sorry, not sorry. Okay, well, I'm going to geek out about Big Mouth Season 3.
Yes.
The trailer came out today.
God. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. I can't wait.
Look.
I can't wait.
I was a little peeved because Netflix canceled Tuca and Birdie.
I know.
And they gave Big Mouth, like, two more seasons.
I think,
like,
it was even three. I think it was three.
Probably. It was probably 15. I don't know.
Yeah.
But was all kind of announced at the same time, like, around the same time. So it felt like very, like, crushing.
Yeah.
Tuca
and Birdie was so good. We should have had 17 seasons of that show. I loved it so much.
I mean, I hope it lives somewhere else. I hope that it can find a place somewhere.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't, like, what other place other than Netflix has shows like that? Maybe HBO? Maybe? They have animals, but, like, I can't see it living anywhere other than Netflix.
Well, Well, my secret hope is that, so Amazon is doing, has done Undone with Bob Waxberg, who has done BoJack.
Yes.
And so Lisa Hannawalt, who did,
she worked on BoJack, yeah.
She did animation for BoJack. So I'm hoping there's some kind of pulling some strings in the behind the scenes, you know, that can be done and maybe it can find a life there. I don't think it's going to be something that happens immediately, if it happens at all.
Yeah.
But all that to say, when we found out that Tuca and Birdie was done, but Big Mouth was getting a few more seasons, it really, like, was a bit bittersweet.
It stung. And I say that as someone who loves Big Mouth. Like, it's still...
I fucking love Big Mouth.
It's a great show.
So good.
But it still, it hurt my feelings a bit.
It did. But then to see this trailer for season three, it just got me so excited again.
Yes.
God, there's going to be so much good stuff. They're coming. So I guess like the kids are kind of coming into their own sexually and we're going to like, we're going to talk about toxic. I know.
I'm
Nick
sorry.
Kroll, you can hire
I'm
me
sorry.
Anytime. But yeah, they're like, you know, puberty is happening. They're really getting into their desires and their urges. And it like opens, the trailer opens with like this like game show about like touching yourself and just anything, like just the chance to hear Maya Rudolph voice the hormone monstress.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I would kill to like hear her do that all the time because she's just her ability to like do voice acting is just
incredible.
There's no one else. Like there's no one else on par with her.
She deserves an Emmy just for how she says bubble bath. Like that's
oh my God. Bubble
bath.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And if you don't watch the show,
watch it.
I'm sure you think like we're like fucking maniacs, but
I don't know. It's one of those shows that I'm always kind of like, do I suggest this to people? I don't know. It depends on the person.
100%. I suggest it to my like teacher friends.
Oh God.
Like, you should show this to like your fourth grade class. They would really appreciate it and they're probably going through this shit.
Right.
Like,
you won't get fired at all. It's fine.
Yeah, it's totally PG. It's really age appropriate. No, I do think it's like, I mean, obviously I think we relate to it because we've gone through that.
It.
So now we can look back and like laugh at it.
Right.
But I think like,
I think there would be some value
dirty.
In showing teens.
Yeah, I think so.
I agree.
Like, I think there's something you can relate to about that. And maybe, maybe when they're in high school and so they've passed this phase of like, they know, you know, any kind of dirty joke that's happening, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
But they're still like struggling with sexuality and struggling with like, you know what I mean? Coming into that.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
plus,
all this to say,
plus the queer eye guys. Yes.
Woo!
Oh my God. Hearing Jonathan Van Ness say Jesus in my vagina. I need to like put that on a t-shirt.
Oh my gosh. I got so excited when I saw Jonathan like as in cartoon form.
Amazing.
Oh, God, I cannot wait. I mean, what a stroke of genius. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I saw them, like, posting on Instagram, like, posting, like, little cartoons of themselves.
Yes.
And I was like, those look like fucking Big Mouth characters.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What
100%.
Is this for?
Yeah.
I didn't really realize. And then this came out, and I was like, oh my God. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I got so excited.
Yeah.
I geeked out.
It's going to be great. And I love that it's, like, coming up in, like, 3 weeks. So
yes.
We don't have to wait very
I like
long.
When they do that, when they're just like, hey, you've been waiting.
Here's a trailer.
It's
coming,
in
it's
a couple
coming
weeks.
Very soon. Yeah. I appreciate that. Not having to wait. So
I'm done waiting like 2 years for a show. Game of Thrones, that's the only show I'm going to do it for. And I really regret doing it for it
oh,
this
God.
Last season.
Yeah.
So
not worth it. Not
you're
worth
not getting
it.
Me again, TV.
All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.